It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointment. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now let us take a moment for reflections over the word that you have just heard.
You have broken us in the haunt of jackals and covered us with deep darkness. Rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake. Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? For we sink down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up. Come to our help.
So all will know, from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is nothing apart from me. I am the Lord, there is no other. I form light and create darkness, make prosperity and create doom. I am the Lord who does all these things.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
By the tender mercy of our God, light will be given to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
It is Holy Saturday, the day between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. For many, it is just a blank day between the high dramas of death and resurrections. What happened this day? Nothing happened. What did Jesus do this day? You may say, he did nothing. He was dead and buried. On the other side, we know that there is happy ending. We have read the story. Easter is coming. Then, what are we supposed to do today? You may feel it seems rude to go out for shopping or for dinner party while the world is already in the Easter celebrations. But at the same time, today is too beautiful for us to stay inside, rattling around the house, doing nothing much while the clock tick, tick toward Easter. Last 2 years, we spent the Holy Saturday evening as we gathered together in this dark, cold sanctuary. Pastor Matt, with his message, led us to engage more deeply in the three-day story of Jesus' death and resurrection. We realized that our life is such a three-day story. Day one is the day our loved one left us by their death, or behind only a farewell note on a table in the house. Day one is the day that we are told by the doctor or our dear ones are diagnosed with a terminal disease. Day one is the day we come to our workplace only to find a piece of paper on our desk reading, sorry, but we have to eliminate your positions. Then comes day two, no matter whether we want it or not. The day after darkness falls on our soul, we enter the void of unknowing with a sigh of the what next question. The good news is that as obvious as the coming of day two was, we, people of God, know that day three comes. It is going to be the day of resurrection. It is going to be the day of victory. On day three, sorrow is turned to joy. Sickness is healed. Pain is comforted. Fear is removed. Brokenness is made whole. We, believers, a people of such three-day story, we find great deal of comfort and peace in knowing that our story ends with the victorious joy that day three brings along to us. However, life is still hard and even harsh. It's because day two is not a single day, but most likely to all of us, it is like a season without knowing its end. In most of our days, we feel we live on day two. We feel that we are stuck in it. We experience the jubilation of Easter and the stark pain of Good Friday, but those are immediate and momentary. Holy Saturday is the time in between death and resurrection, fear and hope, pain and comfort. Holy Saturday is the valley of grief and the wilderness of uncertainty. We don't know how long this valley, how long this wilderness will continue. Though we know that Good Friday gives way to Easter, we live our lives on Holy Saturday, waiting while we don't know if the cancer can be cured, waiting while we don't know if the baby in the NICU can grow like most other babies do, waiting while we don't know if we can love again, waiting while we don't know if we can find the position that fulfills our passion and gift. At the bottom of all the day three unknown, different circumstances, we all share the feeling that we live such in-between time, in darkness, with an unknown future for our personal life and for our life together as Christians in the 21st century and as a people of the United Methodist Church. 2,000 years ago, the day after Jesus was crucified and buried, his disciples and friends felt their loss at Jesus' horrible death. That Saturday, they felt their sense of uncertainty and darkness without knowing what lay before them. The Bible does not offer detailed reports about what they did on the Saturday and how they spent that Saturday. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, which we read earlier in this gathering, it is said that they were resting. Their Sabbath law obligated them to do nothing. But what else could they do, even if they were allowed to do whatever they wanted to do with the lifeless Jesus? In verse 56, in Greek, the language that the New Testament was initially written, the word rested is eschkasen. Noticeably, it's used in the New Testament by only Luke in the four different places, including today's passage. The other three are Luke chapter 14, verse 4, Acts 11, verse 18, and Acts 21, verse 14. They have things in common that are first context, that these are used in a two-party involved conversation, and that the word eschkasen is translated as being silent. The gospel writer Luke used the word ashkesen constantly to depict the situations where one party was lost for words and fell silent to the speech or action of the other in the interactive circumstance they were together. The woman on Holy Saturday was lost for words. Do you still like the English word rested better for their Holy Saturday? But please know that it was not quite a voluntary resting for renewal of energy. Rather, it was more like a first pause. You may say that they were preparing spices and ointment while resting, but it had to do with their experience of day one, the death of Jesus. They couldn't imagine what looked to day three. If you feel that you can relate to the woman on Holy Saturday, this dark, cold, quiet room is what you and I need this day. Because we live our lives on Holy Saturday with no resurrection in sight. Yes, for many of us, Holy Saturday is where we are on our life journey. Holy Saturday is where we are with our loved ones who still battle cancer or any other disease. Holy Saturday is where we are in the relationship that are in turmoil. Holy Saturday is where we are in a state of in between to move from before to after, yet not knowing what the after will be. Holy Saturday, with its deep darkness and silence, is where we are, feeling that we are losing a lot more than we once did, not just money or health, but more than that, our sense of self. What then can we do while living our lives on Holy Saturday? I believe that the only way through them is through them, not pretending them passed away. When we feel that we are in darkness, we had better first trust our feelings instead of hastening to ask to be delivered from them. And I drew a highlighter to Barbara Brown Taylor's words in her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, reading, quote, "What if I could follow one of my great fears all the way to the edge of the abyss, take a breath, and keep going? Isn't there a chance of being surprised by what happens next? Better than that, what if I could learn how to stay in the present instead of letting my anxieties run on fast forward?" Unquote. I hope and pray that for you, this evening is a time that you can stay in the present. This evening is a time you can wait in the darkness. This evening is the time you decide to put your trust in God. When you can no longer see the path you are on, when you feel you can no longer sense anything in the dark that might tell you where you are and where you are heading, you may have to come to realize that the only thing the dark night requires of you is to embrace the truth that we cannot and will never know God fully, but still remain conscious of God's presence. Yes, I understand that in many times in our life, such efforts end up making us feel God's absence more and more, not God's presence at all. I did. In my early 20s, I was going through a valley of the shadow. My family was almost destroyed. I was losing my faith in God and wanting to give up on life. Every night I cried in my bed, my prayers full of tears, in disappointment and anger at God, asking God, where are you? The reality that troubled my whole being most was the apparent absence of God around me. As one psalm writer lamented, it seemed that my companions was only the darkness. If God was light, then God was gone. I felt that way. Where is our Lord and Savior when we feel we are abandoned and left out in the darkness of the abyss? This is not just my questions or your question. It's everyone's question in human history. The early Christians had such questions for themselves and for the people of God who they knew lived before Christ and had gone as they never knew of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter and people in his community then responded to such questions in these words, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Christ was put to death as a human, but made alive by the Holy Spirit, and it was by the Spirit that he went to preach to the spirits in prison. The confession of faith of Peter and his friends gave assurance to those who wrote the Apostle Creed. So the earliest known version of the Apostle Creed had in the section of I believe in Jesus Christ, a phrase meaning Jesus went down to the spirits of the lower regions. In many Protestant traditions, the phrase was dropped off from our worship and creed, but it was returned in the 20th century as the ecumenical movement encouraged both Protestants and Catholics to embrace traditions of the early church. Now it reads, Jesus descended to the dead. What does it mean? It means that there is no part of human existence to which Christ is not able to reach out. Even in the darkest and most anguished of time and places, God is there. There is no place in human life where the encompassing love of God cannot be present. There is no place where God is afraid to go. This evening on Holy Saturday, in the silence of God, in the darkness of your soul, I hope you can embrace your feelings. Do you feel, or do you know your loved ones feel this day that no one sees where you are going, that no one takes care of you, that no one answers if you call? Yes, such feeling is real. I cannot say that you should not feel that way, but I can say that there is not sufficient proof that you are alone. Take comfort and courage. There is a divine presence that embraces and transcends all your situations and emotions. There is a divine presence that is willingly and selflessly giving to everyone, even to the ones who would gnash and grieve in the pit of the dark valley. The God of the divine presence is here. As we briefly saw earlier, the gospel writer Luke used the word eshehesen, which he used to describe a setting where two individuals or a group were interacting. Then, who is on the other side of the woman on Holy Saturday? Jesus was laid in the tomb. Then it was God the Father who walked through the Saturday with the woman. Yes, it was the Sabbath day. We read in the book of Genesis, on the seventh day, God finished the work of creation and God rested. It's the day when God's Sabbath, the Hebrew word Sabbath, you probably think means taking a rest. It's right, but tracing the word to its origin and the other places it was used, especially in the books of Moses, we learn that it means to cease, to pause. On the seventh day, God finished God's work of creating the universe from not being to being, from chaos to order. However, God's work with and for God's creation was not done. God's Sabbath, God ceased. Then God continued God's larger work. Then considering this, I am sure what we read here in Luke chapter 23 about Holy Saturday is that our God was not finished yet on that Saturday. Yes, Jesus had completed the work that he was sent to do by giving his own life. But God the Father was not finished yet. The triune God's work for our redemption, salvation, and liberation still needs the work of raising Jesus from death to life. It all comes down to making me think that God needed time on Holy Saturday. Perhaps time for solitude, time for bearing and embracing the sorrow over the suffering and death of God's beloved begotten Son Jesus. God needs time because the cross was not simply of Jesus, but also of God the Father. God the Father, who listened and saw all the agonies of Jesus, shared the pain with Jesus. Then, on Saturday, day two, during which the body of Jesus lay in the tomb in silence and darkness behind the large stone that was rolled against its entrance, the one God in three, the three in one, took the day of solitude from the world, but also of community in one another. Then to us, Holy Saturday is the day that we give time to God. Holy Saturday is the day we wait for God. We do so not in despairing doubt of God's presence and promise, but in faith. While we are waiting, yes, a difficult waiting to which the end is not under our control, we may, in this waiting, go back and forth between lamentation and trust, between cry and silence. But through them, may we be able to learn to say, like T.S. Eliot in his poem, East Coker, I said to my mind, be still, and wait without hope, for hope would be hope for the wrong thing. Wait without love, for love would be love for the wrong thing. Yet there is faith. But the faith and the hope and the love are all in the waiting. Wait without thought, for you are not ready for thought. So the darkness shall be light, and the stillness the dancing. Perhaps when you feel you are in the darkness and wilderness, then you may like to come to the Bible and say to yourself in the words of the refrain of Psalm 42 and 43, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Amen.